Mr. President, today, the Senate sends a unified message to the entire world. America will always defend democracy in its hour of need.
Today, the U.S. Senate advanced major legislation that would provide billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. In a procedural vote, the Senate showed it has enough support to clear a final vote to then move the package to the president. Here is Senator Chuck Schumer.
A lot of people inside and outside the Congress wanted this package to fail. But today, those in Congress who stand on the side of democracy are winning the day.
But there's something else in this package. Here is Republican John Thune speaking on the Senate floor earlier.
The bill before us today includes some new measures. Notable among them is legislation to ban TikTok if the company is not purchased by an entity unaffiliated with the Chinese Communist Party.
Senator Thune said this potential TikTok ban is about preventing China from accessing Americans' information. But this proposal has created a massive backlash from TikTok's many loyal users.
This is the most significant threat from the U.S. government ever to this wildly popular video sharing app that's become a huge part of American culture and also commerce.
Cristiano Lima Strong is a tech policy reporter at The Post. And as he points out, this is not the first time that lawmakers have tried to ban TikTok. But previous attempts didn't work because of legal concerns over executive overreach and free speech violations. Cristiano says this time is different.
The way that lawmakers did it this time was by packaging it together with foreign aid bills. It's often easier to get things through the Senate if you just lump it together with legislation that's seen as a bigger target. It seems like it's for real this time. It has broad bipartisan support, and President Biden has already said he'll sign it, so it seems very likely that this thing will be law within the week.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. Today, we hear why the government is targeting TikTok and possibly upending one of the most popular social media apps around. So, Cristiano, I'm curious if you were surprised to see that this TikTok bill was actually going to go through now.
So it was surprising how quickly all of this has come together. Congress has been trying for years and years and years to pass legislation targeting, you know, various tech companies and the tech sector more broadly. But this TikTok effort, even though in some ways it's been years in the making, seemed to spring up overnight, where the House initially passed it in just over a week after it was introduced. And now a month later, here we are on this more targeted proposal taking aim at TikTok.
And what are the exact terms of this part of the bill as it has to do with TikTok?
So it's been described as a ban. That's not quite accurate. What the legislation would do is it would force TikTok's China-based parent company ByteDance to sell off the platform within a certain time frame. And if it doesn't do so, then TikTok would be effectively banned in the U.S. App stores wouldn't be able to provide it to users, and web hosting services would also not be able to offer it. This latest version of the proposal gives the company 270 days, so roughly 9 months, to do this, to sell off TikTok. But the president could extend that by an additional 90 days. And so even if this is signed into law tomorrow, it could still be up to a year until that would take effect. But there's a lot of hurdles along the way that could delay that timetable or halt it entirely.
And I want to get to later in our conversation, you know, what that timeline could look like or what are some of the hurdles that could come up. But I think the question that a lot of people are asking in this moment is, why is Congress doing this? Why are lawmakers so adamant about trying to force this company ByteDance to sell off TikTok? What's the rationale here?
Yeah, the rationale is that there are concerns that because TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which is headquartered in Beijing in China, that could expose American users' data to the Chinese government. There are also concerns potentially about the company being able to influence the way that Americans think by tinkering with its algorithms. Now, we should say that, you know, TikTok has said that it has never and would never turn over American user data to the Chinese government. There has not been evidence presented that they have done so to this point. And there's also not been significant evidence of the Chinese government influencing its algorithms in a way to try to shape the American psyche as lawmakers fear. But because of TikTok's corporate structure and the ownership by ByteDance, there are concerns that Chinese government officials could still gain access to American data, either through ByteDance employees or by having data stored in China or by employees in China being able to access some of that information.
And what are some of the political implications of all this? The fact that this legislation is going into motion in an election year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of incredible gymnastics feats going on around this in Washington, in that a lot of the people that support this proposal that could lead to a ban are on TikTok, including President Biden's campaign. There are also folks like Trump who, you know, previously tried to ban it under his administration, who are now criticizing the prospect of a ban. And, you know, he just posted this week that if there's a ban against TikTok, young people should blame Biden and they should think about this when they go to the polls. Mm. And so certainly politicians are mindful of the fact that they are taking action against this company that a lot of their users use and voters use.
And young people in particular, that they're, you know, Democrats especially are like trying to get out to vote for Biden, and that like alienating them by potentially banning an app that they all love feels like a dicey prospect.
Yeah, there's absolutely a concern about alienating young voters during an election year from both parties by taking aim at this app. And so, you know, it should be noted that this proposal has now been amended in part to put the window that ByteDance would have to sell TikTok further out from the election. And so that could potentially lessen blowback at the polls that might have happened if that window had come in closer to the election.
Interesting. I think the other part of this is that we know that, again, so many other apps that people use in their day-to-day life are collecting large amounts of data about their users, and that they're selling that data publicly, and that, frankly, like foreign governments do have the ability to legally just buy data from many existing apps that they can use to track people or understand better what Americans are up to. So like, how different is the threat of TikTok versus the like reams of data that we provide to all these other apps that then becomes publicly available?
Yeah, and I think that's also an area of concern on Capitol Hill. And we should note that there has been legislation that has also been proposed that lawmakers are trying to take up alongside this that would address exactly that, that would bar foreign governments, foreign adversaries, from seizing the data of Americans from data brokers, which are these sort of like shadowy third-party groups that end up trading in a lot of our personal information that we don't even have awareness of. And so there is an effort on Capitol Hill to try to tackle a piece of the broader issue as well. And there are still ongoing efforts to pass a broader data privacy law that could tackle some of these concerns. But some of those issues have been harder to find consensus on. You know, some of the feelings on Capitol Hill about the threat posed by China as a rival global superpower is something that has helped fast track this particular effort that's taking aim at TikTok.
After the break, we'll hear how the potential ban could be challenged in court and what might happen if it actually goes into effect. We'll be right back. So let's talk about how this could all play out in the future. You said that if and when this bill passes, that there's basically 9 to 12 months potentially where TikTok either has to be sold from ByteDance, or that at that point, if it's not sold, then this app would basically be banned. How is ByteDance expected to push back on this?
So TikTok has signaled for a long time that it will challenge this law. It was reported over the weekend that one of its executives pledged to do so internally. And, you know, this is not their first rodeo. They have faced attempts to force a sale or to force a ban before, and they have challenged those and done so successfully. It's going to be a long battle. And I'm sure as a part of that, you know, TikTok's likely to seek a preliminary injunction, a halt against this law, which could pause that shot clock. And the company has been preparing for this legal battle for quite some time now.
And talk to me a little bit about that legal battle. Like, what are the arguments that ByteDance is expected to raise for why they think this legislation shouldn't be legal?
So TikTok has already made a lot of these arguments in past legal challenges, which is that a potential ban against the app violates the First Amendment rights of the millions of users that go on the platform and that see it as a means of free expression and that have a right to keep engaging in that on their site. There are also constitutional concerns about the fact that the law explicitly targets TikTok. The fact that it names TikTok in the text, that's known as a bill of attainder, you could argue.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so the concept of a bill of attainder is that legislation that the federal government passes should not explicitly target an individual or a company. And a part of that is because doing so deprives them of due process, of, you know, a fair trial. And so the fact that this legislation says, you know, TikTok is a national security risk, it's controlled by foreign adversary, it makes that decision without there being some legal proceeding first. The company could argue violates constitutional protections. And so this is something that TikTok could very well argue in court, in addition to the free speech and First Amendment concerns that we've seen it raise in the past.
Interesting. And the politicians who have been pushing this bill and have supported this potential ban on TikTok, how have they addressed those concerns or sort of anticipated that ByteDance is going to be making this argument?
Yeah, so they have argued that the legislation, because it gives the company time to divest, that it is, you know, in essence, not a ban, that gets around that. And they have also argued that the legislation, because it's forward-looking, it's thinking about threats that could emerge in the future as opposed to some past wrongdoing, that gets around some of the due process concerns and some of the concerns about the company not having a right to make a case for itself.
I imagine that ByteDance at this moment must also be seriously considering the possibility of, like, look, maybe we should just sell TikTok and be done with this. This is an app, as we all know, that has a huge amount of loyalty among its audience. So I would imagine that's a pretty valuable asset. Talk to me about what that would look like. Like, are there potential buyers in the works? And what would it mean if ByteDance did just decide to sell?
Yeah, so we've seen this before. 4 years ago, when Trump tried to force a sale, tried to force a ban, ByteDance did entertain bidders for the company. We saw Microsoft, Oracle, some other companies come into the fray as potential suitors for an arrangement here. But we have not heard that from TikTok or ByteDance recently. They have been far more resistant. They have said that this proposal is tantamount to a ban. So if they are open to selling, they have not indicated as much this go around.
One part of this that I saw that I found very interesting was the idea that if TikTok were to be sold, that it wouldn't be sold with its core algorithms. And a lot of people talk about how the reason TikTok is so effective and frankly addictive is because of the algorithms and how it knows how to feed you content that you're interested in. Can you talk about that part of it? Like, what is the thing that is being sold or could be sold, or maybe it sounds like won't be sold?
Yeah, so there's been some discussion about, and we need to talk about China, the government of China as an actor here at this point, because China could block a potential sale of TikTok by ByteDance. And China covets this powerful algorithm that has gotten so many users engaged in this platform, millions of Americans. And so it's certainly possible that the company could look to make a sale where the prized algorithm, the way that it operates, is detached. But at that point, you sort of question what's left. What is this site really if it doesn't have sort of the magic juice that powers it? Ultimately, it's going to come down to whether the company is willing to do this and whether it'll have to or if it can win out in court before it even gets to that point.
And if things turn out in a way where ByteDance decides not to sell, and if TikTok does basically go dark, who stands to benefit from that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, there are a lot of social media platforms that have been competing with TikTok for users for years. You know, I mean, Meta's Instagram has this revamped Reels that in a lot of way mirrors TikTok's product, and YouTube has been, you know, promoting more its shorts. And so these are all things that if TikTok suddenly disappears one day, could stand to gain from some of those users that are looking for that same experience. There's a lot at stake for the tech industry at large, but it should be said there have been people that have expressed concern that taking an action like this against TikTok could set a potential dangerous precedent. That giving the U.S. government the power to force a sale or a potential ban like this is something that could be turned on other companies down the line. And there are folks in the industry that have concern about that.
Yeah, tell me more about that and the language in this bill that would essentially give the government power to pursue other bans.
Yeah, so the proposal explicitly targets ByteDance, TikTok, and other ByteDance-owned services. But it does also give the federal government, the president, the power to designate additional apps in the future to face a similar type of ultimatum. And to do so, they would have to designate them as an app or a website of some sort that is deemed to be controlled by a foreign adversary. Just last week, Senator Rand Paul, who has been a vocal opponent of this legislation, he wrote an op-ed saying that he's concerned about, you know, you ban TikTok now, what about Apple products down the line? Because if some of these companies are doing business in China, they have some, perhaps they store some of their data in China. Like all of these things, like, could be used as a rationale down the line for trying to target other platforms. And so there is concern among some officials in Washington about the precedent of giving the federal government this power. One factor here is that China does ban a lot of services from American tech companies like Meta and like Google. And so there's also a question of how the country will react down the line if this is indeed signed into law, that it could flare up tensions and potentially create a situation where China might look to retaliate because the U.S. is now taking, you know, very strong restrictive action against one of the country's most profitable and most visible successful tech companies.
Christiana, I'm curious what your conversations are with, like, regular people when you tell them that, like, this is a potential ban on TikTok that is, like, going through and about to pass, like, what their reactions are or what they think when they hear about this.
Yeah, so I've been pretty amazed by how much this issue resonates with people. I mean, you talk about things like data privacy and concerns about national security and China, that can be pretty opaque. But when you start hearing about, wait a minute, like this app that my little cousin uses or that my aunt, you know, posts cooking videos on, that it could potentially go away, I think that's something that has really grabbed a hold of a lot of people. And so there's been a significant amount of attention just from my personal experience talking to folks.
How much are the reactions negative versus positive? You know, like, I think about, frankly, my concerns about TikTok, like why I don't have TikTok on my phone. And I think the concerns that I hear from a lot of other people, and particularly parents, and that they're not really about national security. It's about, like, I worry that TikTok is turning my brain into mush or my children's brains into mush, or that, you know, it's so addictive, it ends up, like, translating into so much screen time. And, like, we know the effects that that has on people's mood and mental health. And I guess for all those people who are like, yeah, I don't love TikTok, but who aren't engaged in, like, the national security part of this, like, I guess, would you say that this bill is a win for them, or is this just, like, a very separate thing that, like, if you're worried about the screen time stuff and the addictive properties of TikTok, like, that this is not what is being addressed in this legislation and it's not going to have an effect?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the everyday person is necessarily super read up on Chinese national security law, like, let alone am I. But there have been studies showing that, and surveys run that show that people's attitudes about this really depends on how much they're on the platform, which might seem obvious, but there's significantly more support for restrictions or a ban among people that have never been on the site, and a lot of opposition among those that are on it. I think that's something that's telling. And it's also worth keeping in mind that there is this broader conversation going on right now about, like, should kids in particular and teens have access to social media? Should we ban it for them at a certain age? And so I think some of those concerns are getting kind of mixed in here, where folks who might support restricting social media for kids might be more open to restrictions against TikTok because, well, it, you know, it accomplishes the same thing in at least one regard.
Cristiano, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Cristiano Lima Strong is a tech policy reporter at The Post. Before we go, we've got a couple updates from Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York. The first witness has taken the stand. David Pecker is a former publisher of the National Enquirer. He's also a longtime Trump ally. He was brought to court to talk about his relationship with the former president and about the tactics he used to keep negative stories about Trump from surfacing. Pecker is alleged to have helped broker a hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Meanwhile, the judge in this case is considering whether to hold Trump in contempt for his posts on social media. A gag order has been put in place to protect the safety of people involved in the trial. Trump was ordered not to publicly criticize jurors, court staff, witnesses, prosecutors, or the family members of the judge or the Manhattan district attorney. Today, prosecutors argued that Trump's social media posts have already violated this gag order at least 10 times. As of early this afternoon, the judge had yet to rule on that question. But in the meantime, during a break in today's court proceedings, Trump went on Truth Social to declare, in all caps, that the judge, quote, has taken away my constitutional right to free speech. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Emma Talkoff with help from Alana Gordon. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Monica Campbell. If you want to show your support for the show, please subscribe to The Washington Post. Not only is it a great way to help us continue to do this work, but you can now get access to Washington Post podcasts ad-free in Apple Podcasts. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or by following the link in our show notes. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.